Have I died and gone to heaven? Is this a dream? This is Gary Wright playing Dreamweaver. Great song. You gotta pinch yourself. I don't care how far away, how many days removed. The Chiefs are yet again Super Bowl champions. Like, it's like every single morning you wake up with a smile on your face. Every single morning there's a little extra pep in your step. All last year when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, you had it. Every Monday is a Victory Monday. Every Friday, guess what? It's still a Red Friday, baby. Going into the offseason, earlier this week, still a Victory Monday. And you know what happens Friday? Still going to be a Red Friday. I mean, when I was a child, when I was growing up, this never once seemed possible. Now, I get it. You're going to hear me talk about this a lot and how grateful I am. But seriously, we hoped for one. Now it's 3-5. The dynasty is here in Kansas City. And I don't care how far removed we are from the Super Bowl. All the parades that have taken place. Doesn't matter. Do not take this for granted. This is not normal. Packers thought this was going to be the norm with them when they got Aaron Rodgers, right? That was supposed to be every single year, except it wasn't. Ask Cowboys fans. Cowboys fans thought that Troy Aikman era was never going to end. Until guess what?
Jerry fired Jimmy?
It did. But a little different. But again, the Cowboys are
mutually agreed to part ways.
They mutually agreed. But it's true, right? Like, you never think it's ever going to end until it does. So right now, I'm not saying the Chiefs will not win next year even. But enjoy this. Because you never know when it's over. Dylan, how are you?
I am floating, sir. I mean, it's insane.
Don't call me sir.
I know. I did it twice.
Dude.
Once in your ear before the show and now.
Dude.
I'm so zeked up, you know. I just had to.
Why are you bringing up Ezekiel Elliott right now?
I don't know.
Zeked up?
Let's restart.
Wait, zeked up?
Let's restart.
No. Are you a Gen Zer now? What is zeked up?
Just excited.
Okay.
Juiced. There you go.
There we go.
Juiced.
I'm amped.
I'm amped. As I said, I'm floating. I'm surprised I can even touch the buttons because thank God the ceiling is here. I'm just that excited.
It is wild, man. It is wild. I will be wearing my Matt Castle jersey this week to keep myself grounded. Not a shot against Matt Castle because, quite frankly, Matt Castle was, all things considered, decent quarterback here. But he was no Patrick Mahomes. This Chiefs team was no current Chiefs team. By the way, can we bring up Brett Veach? I need to give this guy some more love. I think Chiefs Kingdom needs to give this guy some more love. He's the best GM in football, right? Like, is it close at this point? I think Howie Roseman's great. I think you can make the case for a lot of guys that are great. Make a case for a lot of guys that are bad. But Brett Veach had a game plan. It involved trading away one of the faces of the franchise, the all-time best receiver here in Kansas City, the best wide receiver in the NFL, top three at a minimum. And what have they done? Since he's gone, 2 straight Super Bowls. You know how much stones that takes? I mean, imagine if the Chiefs only made it to the AFC Championship game both years. You know how much what-ifs you would have? You know how much would Tyreek be the difference? We don't have that. He had a game plan. It looked ugly during the regular season. But as we sit here, a few days removed, another Lombardi, another Super Bowl ring.
There's I like that. I know that was a little mess up, a Lombardi, a little combo of the Lamar
a Lombardi.
And Lombardi. Like, obviously, you have to get one to get the other, but I like that.
It's because I've talked so much and I don't feel good.
I know.
Yeah, it's a Lombardi.
You did a damn good job in Vegas, sir. I mean to tell you that right now. Your interview
sir
skills.
Again?
I'm sorry. You have to accept the sir on this one. You did a damn fine job. Every interview I watched of yours was just excellent. I couldn't get enough of the interviews. How was it? Was it awesome? Was just all the people. Like, who was the best person you saw that you were like, I can't believe I just saw that guy?
Man. I think my favorite interview may have been Shannon Sharp.
I saw that. That was awesome.
Shannon Sharp actually gave a lot. He talked about before.
His necklace is so cool, by
the
way.
It's awesome.
Did you ask him what that was? I've always wanted
to ask him. No, I asked him
about... Because it looks like a bunch of different...
I wish I would have asked.
What would be a ruby and a gem? What are those? Gemstones?
Gemstones.
There you go.
No, I didn't ask about that. I asked about Mahomes. And
Surprisingly,
I did tell him before we went live. I think we probably have some clip background of me saying Shannon Sharp, best soul patch in the game. He loved that one. Shannon loved the best soul patch in the game.
Oh, yeah.
But it was great because I asked him about if Mahomes wins, where is he all time? He goes, he's already top five. He called him the baby goat. He goes, he has to shed those baby antlers and grow a bigger rack. Well, that rack's growing right now. I mean, it's so impressive what Mahomes did. By the way, I asked him, who I think we should all take Shannon Sharp's opinion of the tight end position very seriously. I asked, who's the best tight end of all time? Without question, he goes, Travis Kelce. That was not even a there was no pause. It was, oh, dude, Travis Kelce, he's the best. He goes, everyone who calls him a big wide receiver, anyone who thinks it's so easy what he's done, then why is no one else doing it? He did say we're playing in the tight end era, right? TJ Hawkinson, Sam Laporta, a lot of these young guys, right? Like, he didn't mention that. But if everyone who is this... Kittle, or he doesn't block well, which, by the way, how did that ever start? He's a great blocker. Really good. You saw why he wanted to get back on the field in the Super Bowl, because he is a solid blocker. There's a reason why no one else has done, even sniffed, what Kelce's doing. What was more impactful in the Super Bowl here, Dylan? Travis Kelce, 9 for 93, solid blocking, or George Kittle, 2 for 4, who, by the way, was getting his ass kicked up and down the field by Leo Chenal. I love George Kittle, by the way. Love Kittle. So I hate that I have to take this narrative of where I'm trying to slander the man. I'm not trying to slander George. Great player. But he's not in the same realm as Travis Kelce. I am sorry. It's just not. But Shannon Sharp, going back to your question, he was probably one of my favorite. Dan Marino was great. Drew Brees was super cool. Emmett Smith is one of my favorite guys. I've talked to Emmett 3 times now. Every single time I gain a larger understanding of the game of football, talking running backs with him. It's very fascinating when you get to talk to Emmett, just because you see all these other young running backs. We talked to Bijan, and then Bijan's seen Emmett Smith walk by, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's Emmett Smith. Like, it's cool seeing the reaction of these younger guys. I believe it was CJ Stroud. All of a sudden he sees, Drew Brees. Cam Newton, by the way, multiple times kept coming over to our booth and, like, interrupting us. And it's really funny because I'm like, what am I going to say? This is Cam Newton. Which, by the way, Dylan, seeing Cam Newton in person, I have zero idea how anyone ever tackled him.
Yeah. He is someone, if you see him in person, I think they're lying on his 6'5". Like, and that's crazy.
Dude.
You're
right. Like, if he's listed at 6'5", what, 250?
Yeah.
That's small.
The NFL is different than college. College is going to accentuate. NFL wants people to think, oh, he's not that big. Look at this. It says he's 6'3", and then he gets off the bus, and you think in your mind, that's not six. That guy's the biggest 6'3 I've ever seen in my life.
We had Bruce Smith over, all-time sack leader.
He's awesome.
DeMarcus Ware. I think Cam Newton was bigger than both those guys.
Yeah.
Like,
No, the people were saying he's a defensive end playing quarterback when he was playing.
It's nuts. So that was cool. I will say Jamar Chase. I've interviewed him 3 times now. This was the best he's ever been. It was in person. I will say this. Jamar Chase was more mild than he has been in the past. Like, you know how Jamar Chase is normally a lot of bravado, right? Well, I asked him about next year. I go, are you excited with Joe Burrow coming back? You know, I know we've heard your comments about what would have happened if Joe Burrow was still healthy this year. But going into next year, he's healthy. What are expectations for you and the team? He's like, well, you know, T. Higgins is a free agent. I want something along the lines of he wants his money, obviously. And he talked about a lot of free agents on the Bengals that are coming up. And I don't know if he's grown. I don't know if this is a he's now done a lot more interviews, so he's a little more polished or what. He didn't have the same bravado that I'm used to hearing from Jamar. I thought that was very interesting. He was more humble. Although I will say he mentioned L'Jarius Sneed is a pretty big trash talker, which I think we all knew, but it was fun hearing him talk about that. It's kind of cool. Orlando Brown Jr. was interesting. He talked a lot about giving credit to the Ravens. He loves Mahomes, the Chiefs, but you could tell. I asked him, I said, does it ever bother you the way fans came after you when you left? Right? He won a ring. You could tell he's a little bit of he wishes people understood that when the franchise tag was put on him, there was no chance of him coming back. Right? So, it's interesting getting the personal perspective from these guys. And I will say, Orlando Brown Jr. was one of my favorite guys to talk to. I could see why a team would rally behind him, right? You can understand why all the players, everywhere he's been, they love Orlando Brown Jr. Like in the locker room, right? Every single thing has been glowing in regards to Orlando Brown Jr. And you can see why when you talk to him. But yeah, Dylan, man, it was just a great time. Swagoo was awesome, though. Marcus Spears. He brought me over a sandwich when I was dying. And it was great. Marcus Spears gave me a sandwich, and it was promoting.
Did you repeat his comments about Q39? Or
no, what did he say about Q39?
He said a word off FCC. Good word list, I guess. I don't know if that was bad. He said the S word, but he said, I'm going to have to come. He thought he was off air, and they had all brought him Q39. I think this was before Monday Night Eagles game. Yes, because they were all here for that. He said he was going to bust that blank up the next time he was in town because it was very, very good. It was one of those, like, dishes
yeah.
with mac and cheese
oh,
and
yeah.
brisket. It was the one that's basically their calling card, and it's just, it is good. It's so amazing. Saying it now, I haven't eaten today. I don't know why I do that to myself.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I would have definitely brought that up off air because he's obviously yeah. had a fun conversation with
oh, I'm sure.
Air, but yeah, he was like, I don't care when he was on air.
Yeah, he's
I don't
like,
care. Yeah, it's true.
It's awesome. So he brought us over his sandwich, though. Dude, legit good. The Swagoo sandwich.
Oh, his own personal
His
sandwich.
Own, like, chicken oh. sandwich. He's promoting it. Yo, in that moment, as hungry as I was, not eating all day, you know how you take, like, one bite and you're like, okay, that's the promo?
Yeah.
Dude, I ate about half that sandwich on air. I'm, like, talking. I'm asking him a question as I'm just crushing this chicken sandwich. It was great. It was funny because you don't eat because you're working so much there. So I had Dan Marino M&M's for breakfast one day. Like, I asked Dan, he had M&M's, and I'm like, yo, you didn't throw me some of those? So then Dan Marino threw me some M&M's, and of course I
no
crushed
flubs.
Those. No flubs. I had good hands. Good hands.
Laces out?
Laces out. I asked him about Ace Ventura. He loves talking about that, honestly. He told me that he taught Jim Carrey all he knows about acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, man, it was fun.
Dude, Dan's a good dude.
First time ever in Vegas, by the way, though. And let me tell you, I am
your first time ever in Vegas.
First time
I've
ever.
I've never been, so I can't be throwing stones from the glass house over here. But
we do have a glass between us, too, so right. It's kind of, you know, don't throw stones at this glass.
I guess I was saying that more excited because I've never been, and that's awesome that your first time in Vegas is, like, the biggest party of the year.
It was wild. I'm still, obviously, as you can hear my voice, I came back with a Vegas virus, whatever that is.
Yeah, I would have had a...
Didn't sleep much.
My body is not ready to get back
six
to
days.
The level of
six days.
Fun that would have been for me.
6 days.
Yeah.
6 days in Vegas, more than enough.
I've been doing free ads for that IV place.
I don't like needles, so I couldn't do it. I was cracking up because the final night I kept saying, final night in Vegas, I got to go. I got to, come on, let's have fun. So we went down to Fremont Street, which is old Vegas. That is the most wild place. That is what you see in the videos. Like in movies, that's Fremont Street. So much fun. Won a lot of money there. I came back $60 richer overall because we don't talk about the other ones I lost. Let's talk about the winnings over here. But for the first time in Vegas, coming back $60 richer, not hungover on a flight, and not making a fool of myself, Dylan, I think I did all right. I think I did Vegas the right way. Went to see U2 at the Sphere, which we'll talk to Lebo whenever he gets on. We went together.
Your thoughts?
Dude, that's nuts. It blows your mind. Like, literally, the Sphere blows your mind. I was not the guy
so
climbing.
So the Sphere is the first thing you go towards. You don't go, U2 is not the first, like.
Yes, 100%. I think the Sphere is the.
The show.
The show, yeah. And U2's the second. I know U2 fans are going to be mad at me.
Well, and maybe it's because you definitely will not be the loudest voice that has pissed them off.
And maybe I'm not.
I know three songs, so unless you're going to play the three songs I know, or use the Sphere completely.
Yeah.
Did they use the Sphere entirely?
Yeah,
or
dude.
Just...
Majority of the songs, yeah.
Nice. Did you go to the Planet Earth thing, or the Postcard from Earth, I think it's called?
Mm-mm.
Apparently there's a thing called Postcard from Earth, where it's essentially just you're surrounded by the Sahara, just all these different places on Earth.
Well,
the
they had, like, animals and ocean and, like, you cannot describe it. The best way to describe it is those, like, AI goggles or whatever, but imagine that, like, in real life. Imagine having the clearest HD TV you have ever seen. Now make it 360, make your chair vibrate, and oh yeah, U2 is playing live in front of you. Like, it is an experience unlike anything I have ever witnessed. But again, I go back and say, I think the Sphere is the main part of it, while U2 was secondary. Nothing against U2, they played great, they were fun. But they were the perfect band for this, because it's not like the Edge is out there ripping off these ridiculous guitar solos, right? It's not like the drummer's out here. He's not Neil Peart from Rush. You're not hearing a whole bunch of crazy drum solos. So they almost, using one of their songs, elevate, but they don't take away. They are a perfect marriage, so I understand why. And Bono, I will say, is a great showman. I'm in the same boat as you, Dylan. I knew maybe half the songs, maybe 10 songs. I like U2, don't love U2. But it was fun, man. It was a spectacle. Vegas by itself is a spectacle, dude. I saw a guy selling weed and booze out of a backpack on a street next to a cop. And his sign said, for medical research. I'm going to go ahead and give you a hint. That dude was not a doctor. I'm going to take a wild guess. Wild gander of a guess here. Dude was not a doctor. I will also point out, though, if you don't like the smell of weed, don't go to Vegas. Like, Vegas and the Strip, you smell. It smells like what I imagine Snoop Dogg's house would smell like. Like, I'm not. I have never smelt weed smell where you cannot escape it. You're smothered by it. At one point, I'm like, am I actually toking right now? Can I say that on air? I just did. It was wild. The smell of Vegas is not one that's pleasant. We also went to the Grand Prix for the media, party, and that was kind of cool too. Dylan, overall, I recommend Vegas, but not for 6 days.
Not for Super Bowl week?
It was fun, because the Chiefs were in it.
Right.
But not for 6 days. That's my main takeaway.
I have heard that. You're not the first person to say that Vegas is like a two-day max venue. So
easy to get to. Their airport's atrocious, though. It's like straight out of like the 1990s.
There is so much room for airports.
Well, they had to, of course, put gambling as the forefront.
Right.
So
I'm saying that now they should definitely be building another airport.
Yes.
They should take no time.
Allegiant Stadium's cool, by the way. When I was on the field for Allegiant, and
how was the field? It looked so good on TV. It looked like
They did have turf when the media was there. They moved turf out for the game. They have it on sleds. I was there and watching. I watched them because it was raining the day when we had opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the tarp, like a almost like a, you go to a Royals game, you know how the tarps, they put the tarp over the field. I was watching them do it. The field looked great then, but the turf, yeah, it is what it is. It's very cool stadium. Very cool stadium. I will grant them that. But it was amazing. You watch as you're walking in the Chiefs logo on Allegiant. You know how badass that is. The Raiders play in Vegas, and when you are there, all you're seeing Chiefs signs on Allegiant, Chiefs signs on the Sphere. You must feel bad for the Raiders players, right? You're like sitting here going, oh man. In their hometown.
And also, it's like the Niners are there, but it's not Oakland, so it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, they are the Vegas like the fans Niners. Niners haters, like Oakland people were Niners haters, but yeah, it's still their two most hated
franchises,
rivals,
yeah. Yeah, Max Crosby wasn't too happy. He picked the Chiefs, but begrudgingly goes, he hates both teams, hopes they both lose. I love Crosby, dude. Max Crosby is one of my favorite guys to talk to. That guy's a psycho. He gave me a fist bump with his broken hand, and I'm like, dude, bold. Bold move. But man, it was fun trip. Very fun trip, glad to be back. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, dude, I was thinking, did you ever see or hear Juwan Taylor or Donovan Smith get called for a penalty? Am I wrong here?
About Donovan Smith and
Juwan Taylor. Like I don't think they ever got, there was no penalties.
No, but check Twitter. They've found 1,000 that they've cherry-picked.
Oh, man.
It's just,
they're brutal.
I know. Who cares? Because guess what? No matter how many tweets are posted, no matter how many, you know, pictures instead of videos when people, like, you know, they'll screenshot.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
No matter how many of those are posted, it's not going to change the outcome of the game. They will never go back and say, let's replay Super Bowl 58 because Will Compton found one play where a guy actually, and everyone is calling him out on it. Like, somebody tweeted this, and I can't remember. I really want to give them credit. And I don't know who it was, but they said he's the Aubrey Huff of football. He's just a former jackpot moron who will say anything online to get any type of reaction from this fan base. And I'm falling into it right now by talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
But he is a perfect example of, if you ignore Will Compton, Will Compton will go away.
He's an elite troller.
He is. And I hands off to him, because clearly he doesn't stop, and he, you know, he's ringless. And you know.
I talked to him, actually. So I talked to Will when I was there. Mm. And I said, Will, why are you riling up Chiefs fans? His response was, because it's so easy. He even told me he thinks the Chiefs are going to win. Like, to an extent, it's a bit. To an extent,
it's obviously a bit. That's what I'm saying is,
he does not believe.
Aubrey Huff is a bit. Yeah. Nick Adams is a bit.
Sure.
And I compared him to Nick. I said he's the Nick Adams of football Twitter. He's going to say whatever he can say to piss people off. Now, he has some bangers every once in a while.
Sure.
The Robert Griffin and Jay Gruden tweet that he came up with. It was
awesome.
Perfect. Maybe he's just under the feathers a bit, but also who cares, because we're champions and he's, you know, singing the ballad of losers, which is,
yes,
the refs. And guess what?
The other person does not believe in it.
Right.
He doesn't even believe in it. That, you know why?
I also, before I let you go,
yeah,
the one thing that I also hate is when people go and like pick things out of a football game. Like, well, if they don't do that, okay, well, you can go and do that with every single thing. If Mahomes doesn't throw an interception, where are the Niners? You know, like, we can go back and say that every team has done bad things or messed up. It's a football game. It's how the story's told. It's how the game unfolds. It's literally constant action. People playing with, like, almost reckless abandon because of the Super Bowl. You're going to have mess-ups. You're going to have just tight play in the first half. It's just, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a football game.
I just always think, everyone hates Kansas City because they keep winning. They're the new Patriots, right? You always hate the winners who consistently win, right? So all these guys are going to take the side of the 31 other fan bases. Because, Dylan, hear me out. why would you, if you're Will Compton, for example, why would you sing the praises of Kansas City? That's only one fan base, right? When you can piss one fan base off and get the support of 31 others. It's a marketing strategy. That's all it is. Why go for one when you can go for 31? That is why I think when you see all these accounts that are sitting here trying to discredit the Chiefs or trying to take shots or point out refs, the majority don't actually believe it, at least the big name guys, right? I firmly believe that they are just trying to get the 31 other fan bases to follow them and act like they're on their side. Because why get the one when you can get the 31? It's a marketing ploy. Again, that's all I think this is. I just find it fascinating that this is what it's come to, that when your team loses, it's rigged. But if your team wins, Dylan, if your team wins, oh, it's legit. It's always, look at the tears. It's so salty. I love it, too, because you know why? This ain't Reggie Bush's Heisman. You ain't taking this away.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who cares? Guess what? Keep singing, keep pulling up all the videos, because that's time that they will never get back. They can never go back and get that hour that it took for them to crop that video and find it on the TV copy and post it online, and then they're checking their account to get all the feedback and all the positive everyone hates the Chiefs feedback.
Oh, it's just glorious.
But guess what? We're enjoying Super Bowls and which t-shirt we're gonna go buy that's got the coolest merch. That, you know, for this year's Super Bowl, because last year's had great colors.
I'm wearing last year's. Yeah. I'm wearing last year's right now.
I remember telling Briscoe, I was like, I've never wanted to win a Super Bowl batter because of just the cool merch. Like the Aztec print with the Phoenix kind of stuff was last year. And then this year came around.
Dude, it's glorious.
It's awesome.
I was there and I'm too frugal. So I'm like, I'm going to wait until it goes down a little bit because.
Yeah.
Dude, it was nuts. They have a lot of cool stuff in Vegas for like the actual Chiefs, Niners, and it's just really cool. But I'm sitting here going, I don't know if I can pay $300 for a jacket. Yeah, I saw your face.
Starter?
Yeah, I don't know even if it was starter or not. But
it was like purple sleeves.
Yeah, it was sick, dude.
Like a Letterman?
Yeah, it was a Letterman's jacket, dude. It was cool.
I
thought it was $325. Awesome. It was probably so cool.
Yeah, and someone would pay that, by the way. I mean, there's people out there.
Not this guy. I'm frugal.
Well, you don't have to like show off, you know. I'm talking about the people that are like, look at me, I just spent $350 on this jacket. Those are the people that buy that jacket.
Yeah. I will also point out, Dylan, you know what a mustache for the playoff run 2 years in a row? This guy. You know who had won 2 Super Bowls in a row? The Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'm not saying my mustache is good luck. Playoff stash, at least. But I'm also saying it's not good luck. If you see Dylan, look at this. Clean shaven. I shaved off the... oh my gosh. I can't even think of names right now. Burt Reynolds mustache. Tom Selleck mustache. There we go. Shave that bad boy off today, this morning. Because it served a good cause. Dylan, you think I should just say... Save all these shavings and put it into like a pillow, like a Super Bowl pillow of all the Super Bowls the Chiefs win when I have the playoffs test, because I think that's the only logical explanation. No, it's gross, dude. I'm kidding. I'm being facetious.
Yeah, I had the confetti. It's kind of similar, right?
Yeah. You still have the confetti?
No. Actually, Jason Anderson made a little extra bag of the Super Bowl 54 confetti for Briscoe that I got this year.
You stole it?
No, he gave it to me.
He gave it to you.
Yeah. Gave it.
You forced him to. I've seen
exactly.
You in the hallway.
It was gunpoint.
Don't believe Dylan. I've seen him in the hallway. He will try and fight you.
I'm a menace.
He kicked my ass one time.
No, in fairness.
I started it. I tried to get low and do a little blocking drill against him. Let's just say I'm not going to be an offensive lineman.
It was like a free
lineman.
Throw box out. It was not an ass. It was nothing like that. It was a free throw box out. Both of us had good ground.
You're being very nice.
You know, we don't know. You might have been right in perfect position. Just let, you know, who knows? We got a hoop one time. I don't know how we have it.
We got a hoop sometime.
It's getting that nice out, finally.
Yeah,
so
it's beautiful.
To, like, find a gym.
How wild is it in February? The weather's
I mean,
it's
perfect
nuts,
for tomorrow. Hopefully it stays. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
So
take a break. Come back. Home stretch right here.
count of three. Lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown! It's caught! Hardman caught the ball! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years! The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions! It is a dynasty! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25-22 in overtime.
What a call. What a call from Kevin Harlan. What a weird score, by the way. 25-22. I will point out, you know, I did that weekly chat with Nick Lowry. He had the Chiefs winning this game 26. I think it was 26-23 or 26-21. You know how bleeping close that is? He had Harrison. He goes, Harrison Butker's going to make four field goals, and the Chiefs are going to score two touchdowns. Well, Dylan, Chiefs scored two touchdowns, and Butker made four field goals. Who would have thought that a Chiefs Hall of Fame kicker would be good in regards to knowing what the special teams is going to do in a game? Let me ask you. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but is Harrison Butker now the best kicker in the NFL? Is it still Justin Tucker? He had a bad year this year, man. I know Brandon Aubrey, obviously, but when you do what Butker did in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't want another kicker.
No, and he'll be the most recognizable kicker. Maybe. I don't know. It's tough. Because when it was Vinatieri, there wasn't a question. He was the most recognizable and the best kicker.
Yeah.
Just because he was the most clutch kicker.
Sure.
As well. So, Tucker's going to have the record. So, everyone's going to know that he has the longest field goal in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, he's already a household name as a kicker, much more so than Butker is. But I think that as you win, then yes, he might be the more recognizable kicker. He should be. I mean, without a doubt, I think he's better. Because Justin Tucker had to make a field goal in his Super Bowl for Ray Lewis's last year, made it, his rookie season too. So, you know, Justin Tucker's one opportunity in a clutch moment. He did do it, and he's been doing it. So I think it's kind of it's either or.
Yeah.
Because it used to not be.
And you're right.
That's on Butker, and good kudos to him that, in my mind, it really is like, which one do you want? Do you want the guy who can, you know, I don't know. There's really no difference between them.
In clutch moments, Butker has always been nails. Like, how many chances has he had in a big-time game where one, he misses, or two, you're even nervous? Like, when that 29-yarder came up to send it into overtime, were you nervous? You know how many kickers around the NFL would be nervous? You know how many Bears fans and Vikings fans, Buffalo Bills fans, would be on pins and needles? Remember even the 13 seconds game, Dylan, right? How long was that field goal that he hit? Long 40? I don't think it was quite 50. I think it was like 48 or something like that. But I remember thinking, how crazy is this? It's a foregone conclusion that he's making this. Right? It was the two plays, and we all go, oh yeah, it's overtime. Oh yeah, they won. Like no one had any sort of worry that he was going to miss that. That should tell you right then and there what he means to this franchise. He has one more year left in his contract. I hope they keep Butker for a long time, because it is rare when you have a guy who is that consistently good and yet also that clutch. Hell, that 57-yarder he made. By the way, Tommy Townsend, great hold. Like, you got to give Tommy so much credit for getting that ball down. Poor snap, gets it down. And then Butker kicking a line drive 57-yarder. I have zero idea how that went in. Didn't get blocked, but it was good. And now Butker holds the all-time longest field goal record in this Super Bowl. Going back again to what he did this year, he did not miss a field goal over 40-plus yards. He was, what, 7 of 7 from 50-plus?
That's just crazy.
What's the NFL average, like 45%, 50%? Maybe. Try 100.
Here's a question. Do you think he breaks Tucker's record in his career?
With the long?
The long.
I think he breaks the long. I don't know
was
if he...
65?
Yeah.
No. I think it's 60. It's more than that. I think it was 63. I think it's like 68 now.
Was it 60, Justin Tucker, long? 66.
Ah.
That was in Detroit, right? When it hit off the...
And he took like a... He crow-hopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could get that. At the end of a half, I don't know if you do at the end of the game because I think the Chiefs also love trying to... Because Mahomes can get the ball there, right?
We all remember Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. We all remember that.
72-yard field goal and he got fired on the tarmac by Al.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear Al Davis stories about like, maybe I won't be on the plane ride home and you think, oh, they're just being dramatic. No. Al Davis.
You might not
gone, you might not be.
Man. Just looking back at this season in totality, and you see all the pieces, and it was a full team effort. We're talking about the kicker. Like, we all know Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones, which if you heard the, do you see Chris Jones getting tackled by Andy Reid, and Andy Reid basically saying he was gassed, but we need one more play, so I was hyping him up.
Yeah, I did not. After the game, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any of the mic'd up stuff.
You haven't seen Andy Reid landing on Chris?
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he came out and talked, and that's why Andy Reid was so thrilled.
Okay, I thought it was like mic'd.
No. The reason why he was so excited was because they needed one more play. And who made the play? It's Chris Jones. I mean, this team, top to bottom, not just superstars, but the younger guys too, Leo Chenal, the veteran pieces, Mike Pinnell, who, by the way, Mike Pinnell, what a bleeping game. Mike Pinnell, when he's the Kansas City Chief, you ain't running on him. Have you seen the clip of him just demolishing Trent Williams?
100 times now, probably.
Trent Williams is the best left tackle in football, him and Laremy Tunsil, right? 1-2.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Dude, Pinnell just bullies him.
How about McDuffie out in space?
Oh, gosh.
Which is hard for a lineman, but also hard for a DB with the new rules because you can't cut.
Yeah.
So he plays it perfectly as best as he can. The one where he throws him, though, is awesome.
I love the play where McDuffie brings down George Kittle.
Yes.
And it's very under the radar.
It's violent. And he goes to the locker room later at overtime. I don't know if that was because of that, but I bet it led to it.
Trent McDuffie is not a big guy. And I asked him this. On opening night, I asked him, do you play with a little extra, you know, because the knock against McDuffie going into the NFL was he was undersized, right? How would the physicality hold up? Shorter arms. And I've actually said this for a while now. I think the shorter arms might help him wrap up better. Because you know like how bench press guys, right? A lot of times, if you have shorter arms, it's better. Like, everyone always laughs at Kevin Durant. It wasn't because he was just so skinny. That's part of it. But because he has such long arms trying to extend up, right? It makes it extra hard. Well, McDuffie having shorter arms, I almost believe that makes him a better attacker because it's easier for him to wrap up. Maybe I'm off base here. But the physicality of Trent McDuffie is noticeable. And that tackle against George Kittle, how many cornerbacks are going one-on-one against George Kittle and bringing him down?
How many slot cornerbacks, even, if we're going to even take it another step further? None. There's none.
I don't think any.
I mean, maybe the only one I can think of is Jair Alexander by name.
Sure.
By name. I'm saying because I know his name, I'm throwing him out there.
If L'Jarius Sneed is playing in the slot, then yeah, I'll go him too.
Right.
I am just so floored. The Chiefs have won three Super Bowls three different ways. Mahomes on a rookie deal. Mahomes non on a rookie deal. Mahomes with a defense first type of team. A offense first type of team, then a defense first type of team.
Just wait till our 07 year. When's our 07 year coming?
That was kind of the first one, the explosive offense.
No, I'm talking I'm talking about and both. Then, I'm talking about when everyone flocks. When they got Junior Seau, rest in peace. We got God, it was him. They got Seau and some other guy that was just locked. Was it a corner? Asante Samuel was on the
Asante
team.
Asante Samuel.
They had Randy Moss, obviously. They had stacked line both sides.
Hey, Randy, how are you going to pay for it?
Vince Wilfork and Richard Seymour on the same
Absurd.
Team. Like, and then also with Junior Seau, Teddy Bruschi, and Mike Vrabel as your linebackers with Rodney Harrison as your safety. Like, when's that Chiefs season where everyone really hates us and we're undefeated in the Super Bowl? Because that's coming. Nick Wright's not wrong very often. He's very Chiefs.
Well, you're not wrong when you constantly bet the Chiefs. Yeah,
I understand. And he constantly is floating the 20-0 season. I think he's right. I think at some point we're going to be very late into a season one time where we're undefeated, like postseason.
While I would agree, part of me wonders.
Could be this offseason.
Well, part of me wonders how big of a goal that even is for this team. Like,
no, I'm saying you're right. It's not everyone's goal. Let's win every game in the Super Bowl. It's every NFL team's goal.
Yeah. But I think when you look at it, like Travis Kelce's sitting at week 18. Like, I think they care more about winning the Super Bowl than they do about regular season statistics. And so
I feel like you fall into an undefeated season more so than planning for it. You're
agreed.
Right.
Yeah.
But once you're 8-0, there's no getting around it. There's no, especially with this team. This team even goes like 5 or 6 or 7-0, it'll start getting loud.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterback, the coach, and all the weapons defensively and offensively. I just think that, I mean, if you're a free agent this offseason, why would you not
at least
like,
entertain
why would you do
it?
Odell Beckham and say, I want money? Because guess where your season ends? If you come across us,
yeah,
you're going to be sitting there thinking,
I will say, though, it's not like Odell Beckham Jr. went and joined the Giants.
Oh, no,
he
no,
He joined
no.
a
yes,
good
I
team.
Don't
he
say
got
that.
There. And they had a great year also. The Ravens were a great
yeah,
team all year
until
long. And he was a big part of the reason. Like,
right.
I think if you are seeing it, guys, like maybe the Julio. Instead of going to the Titans.
Yes. Okay.
You come
yes,
to Kansas
yes,
City.
Yes, yes. Or DeAndre.
Juju.
Even DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
That's what I meant. I meant, I guess Julio actually also went
did,
to the Titans,
yeah.
too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Did, yeah.
Wild. Titans are where old receivers go to die. Andre Johnson.
No taxes in Nashville. I mean, it's hard to.
Oh, man. Wild to me. Oh, what a bad team. Ugh.
I'm saying no taxes in Nashville.
Yeah, I know.
Nash
I know.
Vegas and no taxes.
Yeah, I know. I'm out on Nashville now. It's too corporate, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
Did you, Broadway now is just. You've been recently where it's literally trying to get through gridlock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got, like, carriages with 80 bridal showers just going all over the
Only
place.
Only 80?
When I've traveled,
yeah, yeah,
80. Like, I'm saying on the, you know, 15 minutes I spent on Broadway, yeah, 80.
But I do agree with what you're saying. Eventually, although we set up for a while now, we thought more of these veteran pieces would start coming to Kansas City, but with the Chiefs hopefully trying to get a third, the issue is, they've drafted so well, Kansas City.
Yes.
They love their young guys.
Go ahead.
Because you saw Rashad Fenton a couple years ago. He was not a veteran, but he'd been in the NFL a couple years now. Solid player, not great. And the Chiefs said, you know what? That's okay. We're going to play the young guys. Sorry, we're going to ship you out. You can no longer play
gone,
Rashad
yeah.
Fenton. And by the way, what's he doing now? Which also goes to
Brett
Veach
has
Dave
to
Mayer.
Do the Moneyball thing
yeah.
with Spags, I feel like, at least once a season where, you know, we're starting Pena today. Well, no, we traded Pena.
Yeah.
So that's not happening. It happened with Sorensen. Yeah. Neiman, Fenton.
But I do think there's something to it. Like, I think Veach trusts his guys,
yes.
the young guys, so much for the most part.
And he's proven to be
it's worked.
He's right.
And so they're like, all right, that's fine.
I want to float something by you.
Float it.
If the Chiefs three-peat, are they the best dynasty of all time, seeing as though that no other dynasty has three-peated, and they'd also tie the Steelers and 49ers for rings, being the only two dynasties that are under the Patriots?
Well, how about we talk about that after this break? All right, we left it as, is this the best dynasty ever? Is that the question in the NFL, right? Is that what we're rolling with?
Yes, if they three-peat.
If they three-peat.
Which would put them at four.
four in 6 years, right?
Correct. Which is actually the exact same as the 70s Steelers.
He has like five. I think you would say yes. How many teams were when the 70s Steelers played? How many teams were in the NFL?
That's another great question. Not as many as there are now. I think you'd subtract what?
Eight?
Four?
Four at least.
I think it's four. Yeah, it's definitely
Houston.
Because now Houston was the Oilers.
Tennessee. Well, yeah, I'm trying to think of.
Oh, I get what you mean. I think that would just be one, right?
Yeah, Arizona wasn't a team then.
No.
One of the LA teams, right?
Hang on. Arizona might have been a team.
How many NFL teams in 1975?
Yeah, that's a good middle ground.
28.
Okay, yeah. So
the league
four.
Expanded in 26, because they had Seattle and Tampa, it looks like, in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, from 26 to 28. So four.
And those teams were terrible, so yeah. It doesn't matter.
So my point, I think it's harder now is the point I'm trying to make right
yes,
now.
Yes,
yes. I think it's harder to win a Super Bowl now than it was there. Obviously, the extra games as well.
Yes. Yes, that's why I'm kind of just brushing those teams, not brushing them aside, but if you win four, you're on the level of them in a harder era.
I think what makes it so hard is the Patriots won six. But what also makes it in Kansas City's favor is that was over a 20-year period.
Right.
Like, people always talk about the Patriots because it was Tom Brady and Belichick. But there was a 10-year period where nothing happened, right? Like, I'm not saying nothing happened, but they didn't win. If you go a decade between, in my opinion, that's two different
dynasties, right? I mean, people will say Tom Brady had three Hall of Fame careers.
Which is true.
It's very. No, I'm not saying that it's not. That's why they do that, though, is because there was such a gap between three and four.
But if you want to make a case that this current iteration, if the Chiefs win next year, is the best? I think the answer is yes.
That's what I'm thinking. Because no team has ever three-peated, no matter how good they've been. And you're on the same level as the 49ers and Steelers, so you've eliminated those. There's only really one dynasty, the Patriots.
And that, again, is over a 20-year time frame. So, you know what? That's a great question, Dylan. I hadn't really thought of that before. And my initial reaction right now, just talking through it, is yes. Again, what we are witnessing right here in Kansas City is unprecedented. As good as the Patriots were, this was over 20 years, not six.
Right.
Right? Like, this is absurd where the Chiefs, Mahomes, Andy, everyone involved, Mike Pinnell. Give Mike Pinnell some love.
The beast.
He liked my tweet the other day.
He's awesome.
Proud of that. Like Mike. But again, just goes to show you, don't take this for granted, baby. We'll be back tomorrow with the home stretch. Until then, we are out.